Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 15th of December. It's Turkey Collection Day for the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona as Tucson Appliance Center and two other local businesses teaming up to collect today 20,000 turkeys. KVOI will be over at Tucson Appliance Center from 3 to 5 over at Speedway in Columbus to collect those turkeys. We'll have more about this later in the program. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We will start the show with a newsmaker interview with Will Cardin, a Mesa businessman and president of Cardin Companies. He is a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate in 2012. He's running against Congressional Representative Jeff Flake in next year's primary to replace Senator John Kyle. Kyle announced last February that he is retiring at the end of his term. At 20 minutes past 12, renowned astronomer and comet discoverer David Levy joins us for his monthly visit to the Buckmaster Show. At about 30 minutes past the hour, we talk with Ramon Valadez. Mr. Valadez is chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and you can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. We begin now with Will Cardin, who is running for the U.S. Senate. Mr. Cardin, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to get into this race. A lot of the political pundits say that it's really Jeff Flake's race, but you want to have something to say about that.
Yeah, I think we need businessmen back in Washington, D.C. right now, not career politicians. And so I jumped in the race because I didn't see anyone else who had been a jobs creator over the last few years, instead of talking about it, who'd actually done it. And I think that's what we need in this state. Arizonans are hurting, and we need people who have actually done what we need to get done and not just talked about it.
Tell me a little bit and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
I'm fifth-generation Arizonan. Actually, both of my parents were born in Tucson. I grew up in a family business, worked my way up the business through construction and then repossessing cars for a little while after undergraduate at Stanford, and then went back and got a business degree back east at Harvard Business School, and then have been in the family business for the last 15 years, 10 of which I've been the CEO.
What were some of the issues that you looked at when you decided whether or not you would want to get into this thing?
Whether or not I could win, number one, and I think very much we can win. We have the right message at the right time. I looked at what does the country need right now, and what does Arizona need? And I settled on three things. Number one, we need business people, more business people to run, who've actually balanced budgets and had to cut payroll, had to cut expenses, and who haven't, again, just been in the government, haven't been creatures of Washington. So that was number one. Number two, we need outsiders. We need people who aren't captive to Washington's special interests and people who are willing to shake up the system when others aren't, who would like to align themselves more with the people of this state, who don't mind taking a pay cut with everyone else in this state. You know, it's crazy to me that Congress right now hasn't proposed a pay cut to themselves when everyone else is hurting. And the third thing we need are reliable, consistent, principled conservatives, people who don't flip-flop on their positions based on what office they're running for.
You know, you look at this debts, the super committee that was a huge failure, and I think most of the American people, according to the surveys, very, very, by and large, are just disgusted with what's going on in Washington right now. I'm saying, wouldn't you agree with that, and how do you change that culture?
Very much so. You know, I'm in my 40s, and I have... now is not the most opportune time for me to run for an office like this, but it's what we need. We're at a tipping point right now in our country, and unless we start changing who we send back to Washington, D.C., it's like Einstein says, it's a definition of insanity. If you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, That's insanity. And what we're doing right now is insanity. We keep sending the same type of people, people who are nice people, but they're politicians, back expecting them to solve problems they've had no experience with. And we need to change that. It's time to say enough. You know, with $15 trillion in debt, and I know that doesn't mean much to a lot of people. That's just a number out there. But I'll tell you what, that it'll mean a whole lot if within a few years it causes the chaos that it can cause. And so we have to change that. We have to change that mentality and send jobs creators back to Washington, because the only way out of this crisis we're in is to grow our way out of it. And so we need people who pay attention to growth.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question that you would like to ask of U.S. Senate candidate Will Cardin, he is a Republican, and he will be up against Congressman Jeff Flake in next year's primary. Tell me a little bit about how you characterize your opponent, Mr. Flake.
Oh, Jeff Flake is a nice man, but his skill set is not what's needed right now. He's been a career politician, a think tank guy, broke a term limits pledge that he made, but I think he's a nice gentleman. His intentions are well. But what we need right now are people who get the job done, not who have great intentions. You know, we also need people who pay attention to this state. Jeff Flake has not been a strong proponent of Arizona. He's been a proponent of earmarks, and both he and I agree that earmarks are a bad thing and should not be done. But we would be very different senators. I think you have to understand that once appropriations are made, people fight for it. Just like in business, people fight to have things done and to have jobs brought. And places like Tucson need to have more industry brought in. That's the only way out of the fix that we're in. And you have to go fight for that. You can't wait for that to come. You have to go over to places like our neighbor California and help companies come over across the border and relocate here, private companies. I'm not talking about government doing it. Government doesn't create jobs. But I'm talking about the influence that elected representatives like a senator can have in bringing private companies and private projects to Arizona.
What's going to be your strategy? Are you going to be visiting as many places in Arizona as possible over the next couple of months?
I am. I've been to Tucson twice this week already. We had a great event hosted by David Goldstein and Don Diamond and several others at a location there with 50 people. Been down to the Republican headquarters there. I've been traveling all over the state. Was in Safford yesterday, and we'll be doing that. I won't be outworked in this campaign. That's one thing I know about is hard work. We're from Tucson. My grandpa grew up in a tent with a dirt floor, literally just north of Tucson there in Binghamton on the Rideau Creek. And was this, the American lived the American dream success story. And I think that dream is dying somewhat, and we need to keep that alive for others. I've learned the value of hard work. I was the mud hot on stations building up stuff. And so in this campaign, that's what the strategy to win is going to be: hard work and the right message. People don't want someone who vacillates back and forth and changes their position on what seat they're running for. And we have the right message, and we will work very hard to gain the earn the trust and the support of the people of Arizona.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the issues on social issues. I assume you're very pro-family, pro-life?
Yes, pro-family, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment. That's a difference between me and my opponent. He voted to repeal, was one of very few Republicans who voted to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. I don't believe the military is a social experiment. So we have a difference on some of those items.
Pro-traditional marriage?
Yes. Yeah, I've been married to my wife 19 years. We have 5 children. I'm the oldest of 8, 6 of which are adopted. So I've experienced a lot of things that people talk about when they talk about children coming from different families and a lot of those social issues.
How about illegal immigration?
I'm a big believer in securing the border and that we need to enforce the laws we have. We're a nation that's run by the rule of law. And I also believe the immigration system that we have, the legal immigration system, is broken and that we need to fix it. This is a country built on immigrants. And so, you know, when you have 4.5 million people waiting in line to get into this country, amnesty is not an option for the people that are here. They need to get behind the people in line and do it legally. And we need to fix that legal process so it's not such a cumbersome, burdensome process so people can come here and be a part of that American dream.
One of the things you've talked about is more innovation, whether it's energy independence or forward-thinking trade policies. You think Washington has really dropped the ball in that area?
I really do. Innovation doesn't come out of Washington. It comes out of the private sector. And the increased regulation and burdens that Washington's put on business, it stifles that. You know, especially Arizona. Think of us. We should be the energy capital of the United States. The Founding Fathers set up the state system to be a mini-capitalism with states. And we get federal mandate after federal mandate that stifles that capitalism. And what we need to do is free it up. We need to free up people to create the next Apple, to create the next IBM, to create the next Ford Motor Company, because that's where the real growth comes from. And when you allow people to compete like that and don't take away the incentive for people to do that, people perform. It's amazing what they do when you give them, when people feel like they can see the fruits of their labors.
So you're talking about really less spending, lower taxes, fewer regulations, and more innovation. So there you really feel you do differ with your opponent, Congressman Flake?
Yes. Those are all the things I'm for. There is definitely – listen, when your country is spending $4 trillion and only bringing in $2 trillion, we need to cut spending. We need to decrease regulation, and you have to grow. The only way out is growth. And we're at a tipping point right now. We're at a very precarious moment in this country's history.
Will Cardin, thank you very much, and I assume we will be, I hope we'll be talking with you again as this campaign heats up in 2012. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. I hope so, too. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. That's Will Cardin. He is a Republican who is a Mesa businessman. He's president of Cardin Industries. He's the Republican candidate, or wants to be the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate in 2012, running against Representative Jeff Flake in next year's primary to replace Senator John Kyle, who announced last February that he's retiring at the end of his term. Coming up now on 17 minutes past the hour, this is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We'll be back with David Levy right after this.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show. At least once a month, we like to welcome Dr. David Levy to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Levy is our contributor on astronomy, the former science editor of Parade Magazine and now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky science education organization. Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He has discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker 9 Levy. That's the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David Levy is an Emmy Award-winning writer and the author or editor of 35 books and other products, and he's an all-around good guy. Dr. Levy, David, good to talk with you.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's good to hear your voice again. I want to wish you a very merry, happy holidays and Merry Christmas, and may your holidays be everything you hope for.
Well, thank you very much, and a happy Hanukkah to you your lovely wife, Wendy. David, with this fog, I guess you weren't searching overnight for that elusive 24th comet.
Well, not so much because of the fog, but because of the bright moon that's still in the sky. I did see the eclipse the other night, and that was very beautiful, and I have been doing a lot of comet searching, but no luck yet. The eclipse is kind of interesting because it's a precursor of a major solar eclipse that will take place here in late May. The eclipse is a central one in Albuquerque, but here it'll be just a deep partial. Reminds me of Walt Whitman's poem, "Give me the splendid silent sun with all his beams full dazzling." And so on that day, we will see the sun almost completely disappear.
What day is that going to be? May what?
I think it's May 20th.
So you're
it's around there, but we'll talk about it more as we get closer.
Yeah, so you're saying there'll be like a total eclipse of the sun, but you'd have to be east toward New Mexico.
You have to be in Albuquerque. It's not going to be total. It'll be what you call annular. It'll be a ring eclipse.
Oh.
And so there's a lot of people getting excited about having trips here to this area to see this eclipse. The next total eclipse will be in November, and that'll be in Australia, and I hope to get on that one.
Well, you probably are one of the record holders or close to it for an individual who has witnessed more solar eclipses than anyone around.
For total eclipses, total. I've now seen 80 of them.
80?
80 eclipses. That's solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, and all of the eclipses that are possible. I've now seen 80 eclipses.
Wow. And you're still such a young man.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I think so. Sometimes my age catches up with me. I'm actually 63 right now.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
No, still young.
NASA off to Mars?
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
The Curiosity probe is on its way to Mars. Everything working very well. And in a few months, we hope it'll land there and start doing its business. It's actually going to start to dig for fossils that might prove that life once existed there on Mars. We still are waiting for that.
It's kind of a slow process.
It's a very slow process, but we need to do it one step at a time. That's the only way we're going to find out.
Dr. David Levy is with us. He is the Buckmaster Contributor on Astronomy. And speaking of astronomy, boy, the winter sky, once we get a few clear nights, which we should have coming up tonight and perhaps tomorrow night, beautiful viewing, huh?
Yeah, because Orion is rising now at dusk, and we're getting that interesting asterism called the Heavenly G, which starts with Aldebaran, Capella, Pollux and Castor in Gemini, then it goes down to Procyon, and then to Sirius, and then to Betelgeuse and Rigel. Rigel and then goes into Betelgeuse, and it forms the loose type of uppercase letter G. We call it the Heavenly G, and it's worth looking at these nights.
And, you know, I always associate the Orion with the holiday season.
Yeah, well, it should be, because that's when it's coming up early in the evening.
How about the Gemini?
Oh, weren't they terrific? I saw last night.
Geminids?
The Geminid meteors.
Okay.
Last night I saw them. I was watching them. I went outside briefly around 8 o'clock at night and saw a beautiful, very bright meteor magnitude about minus 2 just cover the entire northern sky, and then saw three or four others later on in that night. But it was, even despite the moon, it was a very good shower to watch. It was a very interesting event.
Will it be available tonight?
Yes, but not quite as much as last night.
At what time tonight should we be looking for it?
The time would be between 10 o'clock and about 2 in the morning.
You know, as you search for that 24th comet, David Levy, give our listeners some idea about kind of how you go about doing that and what kind of schedule you keep for your search activities.
Well, I usually get up before dawn, like a couple of hours before dawn. I spend the first hour setting up 11 cameras out in the observatory. And then when they're all running safely, I then start a visual search as well. So I'm really searching in 12 different ways at once. And I've been doing this now either this way or just the visual way for now 47 years.
And then you say, how many cameras? There are 11 cameras?
There are 11 cameras out there, and they all work. One of the computers is a little bit flaky right now, but all the others are working fine.
And how about your foundation? How is it doing?
It's slow. I mean, the recession has hurt it a lot, but we're still working, and we're still doing what it's meant for, to inspire people to get an intelligent basic interest in the night sky. That's what we want to do with the Sharing the Sky Foundation, to inspire.
And Shakespeare and the night sky really is dear to you. I think that's what you did your doctoral thesis on.
Yes, I did, and Shakespeare is really Shakespeare and the people who wrote. It turns out that I found out that Shakespeare had more references to the night sky than all the other writers of his generation put together. He really did a lot of good work there with his writing, and also connecting it to various aspects of nature, which played a big part in his plays, particularly the night sky. He was a very good observer of the sky. And he didn't let very little escape his keen eye.
What are you looking for as the big astronomy story coming up in 2012? Anything other than perhaps for our local area, the partial solar eclipse?
Well, there is that eclipse. There are a couple of eclipses of the moon, a partial and a penumbral, very small eclipse coming up in the next year. And it's very hard to see. There's all kinds of discoveries being made all the time. What I would like to see is the discovery of solid evidence of intelligent life on some other world. That'll be the discovery of our age.
Yes, it will be. David Levy, thank you very much. And again, have a great holiday season and our love to your lovely wife, Wendy.
You too, Bill, and we'll speak with you next month.
Thanks a lot. David Levy here on the Buckmaster Show as we come up now to 12:30. Coming up next, Ramon Valadez. He is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. He's also the representative of the board on the RTA. Lots to talk about in the next half hour with Supervisor Valadez. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The federal government says an Arizona sheriff has committed a wide range of civil rights violations against Latinos. The report follows the Justice Department's three-year investigation into Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio's office. President Obama says it's inexcusable that home health care workers caring for the elderly and disabled can be paid less than the minimum wage. The president's announced new Labor Department guidelines requiring those workers to be paid minimum wage plus overtime. Congressional leaders now sound optimistic. An agreement is near on extending this year's payroll tax cut, renewing unemployment benefits, and averting a federal shutdown this coming weekend. House Speaker John Boehner says it's time for lawmakers to legislate. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what? What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. We are delighted that you are along. And I also want to mention, and I mentioned this at the top of the program, that the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona is in very dire need this year of both food and cash for the holiday season. They are really short of turkeys. So today is 20,000 turkeys for Tucson Day. Three local businesses, Casino del Sol Resort, Mr. An's Teppan Steak and Sushi out on North Oracle, and Tucson Appliance Center have teamed up, and they're in a little bit of a competition today. They want to see how many turkeys they can bring in. So today's the day. 20,000 turkeys, the goal. KVOI will be out at Tucson Appliance Center Speedway near Columbus today from 3 to 5. We'll be doing some live remotes out there to kind of encourage our listeners to help out here so we can make this a holiday that is a bit brighter for the neediest in our community. And we want to welcome Happy Holiday Greeting to Ramon Valadez. He is the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. He also represents Pima County on the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA Board. Supervisor, good to see you. Happy holiday season to you.
Good to see you too, Bill. Thanks for the invitation. Happy holidays to you and your listeners as well.
Thank you so much. It has been a very, very tumultuous year. Not only for – well, really for all local government, with all the budget issues that were facing you and the controversy over the Rosemont mine. How would you characterize 2011 in Pima County?
Well, you know what? I've got to tell you that it's been a very, very busy year with many, many issues to deal with. And I would tell you it's it has been busier than it's normally been in county government in 2011. So I think the characterization that it's tumultuous, I would use busy.
You'll use busy. Okay. I want to pick up a little bit on what Larry Hecker, the Tucson attorney who is the head of the Pima County Bond Advisory Committee. He's the chair. And, of course, yesterday we spent a half an hour with Mr. Hecker talking about this proposed bond that it's about a $200 million plan that would protect jobs and grow new jobs at the region's largest employer. Raytheon is the centerpiece for this, but there are other employers like Tucson International Airport that are involved as well. What do you know about this plan and do you like it?
Actually, I and the rest of my colleagues directed Mr. Huckleberry to develop this plan simply because one of the things that I think most of us will agree on is a term that I use that we in Tucson and Pima County have become what I call education exporters. We bring our families here. We have our children here. We educate them here. We send them to community college, universities. And then where can they go work?
They leave.
So they have to leave. So that we have, frankly, it's very easy in terms of getting people to agree that is an economic development failure that we have had for a very, very long time. And we have basically decided we're going to step into that fray as Pima County, and we're going to do what we can to try and at least take a step forward to try and address that issue. Now, you talked about Raytheon. Well, the plan itself is for the five different employment centers. It's the biosciences, it's the healthcare campus, it's Raytheon and the Tucson International Airport, it's the Correction Center, it's the Science and Tech Park. And it combines all kinds of different aspects. As I said, we've directed Mr. Huckleberry to put something together, and probably within a week or so, the memo, an extensive memo, is going to be put out in that includes all the different approaches. It includes transportation issues. It includes a proposal to create a business one stop in Pima County along with our partners. It includes efforts to try and retain and grow our local businesses. It includes efforts to make sure that we deal with the educational needs in terms of literacy, in terms of remedial education. It is a very holistic kind of approach to be the blueprint for economic development to try and deal with this issue of being an education exporter. You know, Bill, I think you know I'm a degreed electrical engineer.
That's right.
And if when I graduated, if I hadn't wanted to go work where I went to go work and I didn't get a job from someplace like Hughes or Raytheon at the time, where was I going to go work?
Out of state.
And that's I see that as a problem because I think we need to give our children and our grandchildren the opportunity to enjoy the life and quality of life and place that we have here.
And I brought this up with Larry Hacker yesterday, and I've been watching economic development in this community for a quarter of a century, as has Larry. And I think too much has been – we've been reactive when it comes to economic development. And now we really have to take the offensive. We have to be proactive. We have to protect jobs and create jobs. That is the lifeblood of what is going to keep Southern Arizona going.
No, you're absolutely right. And what was the wake-up call was when Raytheon did not get the contract and went to Alabama. We sent a delegation through TRAIL, which included Mr. Huckleberry and Supervisor Bronson, the vice chair of the board. And one of the things we discovered is that there were things that they did and did successfully that helped create tens of thousands of jobs in their community. And they've been at it since, I believe, 1962.
You're talking about Huntsville, Alabama.
Correct.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have some catching up to do. But frankly, we're talking about thousands and thousands of jobs that we can bring to our community that our kids and grandchildren, when they graduate from our universities and community college, can then have a job and have the same quality of life and place and stay here like we did.
Yes, this plan is complex, but on the face of it, I think it's very much needed. But the problem will be selling this to the community in a perhaps simplified manner. Because if it's on the bond, if it's on the ballot, perhaps in next year, 2012, that's going to be a very crowded ballot. Can you still do off-year balloting like 2013, or was there some ruling that came down that you have to do these things in the even years? I recall that changed, that you have to do them now in even years. So perhaps you might have to wait till 2014.
I don't believe that affects the bond election.
Okay.
Where it does affect it, if you remember, in previous bond elections, they were held as special elections.
Yes.
And the legislature changed the rule a number of years ago, so it has to be a general election.
Okay.
So that's the election change that affects us.
790-2040, 790-2040. Ramon Valadez is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We're talking about this jobs infrastructure plan. Any idea when this will go before the board? Would you say early in 2012?
I would tell you there's a couple of different phases to this plan. The first is that obviously Chuck will put out the memo probably within the week. It will also go on our county website, so anybody who wants to see it will be able to see it there. Additionally, one of the first phases of that plan is it will then go out regionally. Any of the business organizations, any of the organizations in Pima County, and probably even other governmental entities in the region – for comment. Obviously, this has to be a plan where we're all on board. It affects all of us. I mean, if you look at the five employment centers, the people that are employed in those employment centers are in every jurisdiction, in every district throughout our region.
Yeah, and add up the jobs. Raytheon, 10,500. Tucson Technology Park, 7,500. Bioscience Medical Complex, 3,100 employees. TIA, people don't realize it, but our airport, to keep an airport like an international airport going, takes a lot of manpower. They have 3,100 employees at TIA, and then there's the projected 2,500 employees at the UA Bioscience Park. So this is a huge job center that we're talking about.
And we're talking about tens of thousands of jobs. Why is this important? Why do I believe it's important? Why do I think that even in a year like a 2012, we can sell this? It's because we're talking tens of thousands of jobs for our community.
So you think, do you think it's so important that perhaps it may have to go on the 2012 election ballot? Maybe this can't wait till 2014.
Potentially, we are at this point. We are waiting to hear back. Obviously, it will then be considered by the bond committee in full. They will make a recommendation to the board, but certainly at this point, I'm willing to consider placing it on 2012.
12:44. Maybe we should take the break here before I bring up another subject, and it is a very contentious subject, the Rosemont Copper Mine and the board not being on board for Rosemont. And if you have some questions about that, 790-2040, 790-2040, questions or comments about Rosemont, give us a call right now. Ramon Valadez will stick around. He'll be with us till 1 o'clock.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
It's 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show. Supervisor Ramon Valadez, he is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, is with us. A couple of issues we need to take care of here in the next 10 minutes, certainly Rosemont. But before we get to Rosemont, this thing about the courts, this joint county-city joint justice municipal courts complex, which has been on hold now for 3 years, it's really coming push coming to shove on this issue, Supervisor.
Right. The actual project started the discussions and negotiations with the city on this project started in 1997, Bill. It was obviously placed on the bond election for 2004 and was passed. And when the excavation for the project began, we discovered almost, I believe, 2,000 bodies because it had been a graveyard. which obviously the bond committee and the board and the voters of Pima County voted, I believe, $76 million for the project. And the excavation, because of the movement of the sites, of the grave sites, obviously in the respectful and honorable manner, was close to $20 million.
Wow.
It was about $18 to $20 million.
But there is an urgency to this project. Mr. Huckleberry, the Pima County Administrator, said that construction prices from Sunt Construction and others are only guaranteed, guess through when? Tomorrow, December 16th.
Yeah,
but the city needs to make a decision here of what they're going to do about this. Is that – that's the bottom line?
That really is. And I suspect it will be resolved in the end. But the truth of the matter is that right now we've still got a window. Because of the economy being what it was, and because there aren't all the construction that had been going on previously, we've been able to see a substantial decrease in construction prices, so that we still have a window from which to take advantage of that. And if we wait too long, that goes away.
Pima County Board of Supervisors has been unanimous in their opposition to the proposed Rosemont Copper operation south of Tucson in the Santa Ritas. What, personally, your own personal opposition is what, Supervisor?
Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have any opposition whatsoever if they just left the mountain the way they found it. Bottom line. When you take a look at the overall issues, whether it's the possibility of air quality being an issue. I mean, we've already got an air quality issue coming from the existing mines into Green Valley and the surrounding areas. If you take a look at water issue, you've got two different potential water contamination issues. The location where they're going to be putting tailings is upstream from Davidson Canyon, which, if you remember correctly, was an acquisition from the county because of the riparian nature that feeds into Cienega Creek. Well, none of the reports that we've seen so far, and I have had personal discussions with Rosemont, bringing this up as an issue that they need to address, none of them have even addressed mitigation or what they're going to do to prevent Davidson Canyon and Cienega Creek, which is the last major riparian area in Pima County, from being destroyed through contamination in that area. And Rosemont isn't the only one. We've got Cal Portland, who wants to do a similar operation there. On the other side, we've got to remember that the water and flow in our aquifer goes from that mountain into Tucson, and that's where we get our water. We're looking at systems that include liners and other barriers. But if you take a look nationally at those other barriers, none of them have shown 100% success ratio in keeping contaminants out of the aquifer, out of the soil, and out of the water. Do we really want to take those kinds of chances? We get a lot of criticism. But we just got through talking about the Defense and Aerospace Corridor, and we were talking about tens of thousands of jobs. In this case, we're talking about 400 or less. Do we want to take those kinds of chances about the long-term future of this community for those few jobs?
Yeah, and that's the knock that has been directed toward you and your colleagues, that you are anti-jobs, you're anti-economic development because of the board's opposition to the Rosemont mine. But you're contending that, hey, it's the quality of job that you're looking at. The air quality in the water is what you...
It's the quality of place of our community, but they make the claim without looking at the facts. Since 2006, Pima County has spent almost $800 million in construction jobs throughout our community. That's well over 11,000 jobs. You explain to me why we've had such a success ratio in terms of creating jobs and we're anti-business. Tell me, when we're considering proposals like a business one-stop, how are we anti-business? When we create jobs, how are we anti-business? When we support the RTA and get road construction jobs, how are we anti-business? I mean, the truth is the accusation's being made, but the facts speak otherwise.
Speaking of the business and the business of driving your car, which many people say gets more expensive all the time. The Pima Association of Governments, PAG, wants you to pay 28% more in state gas taxes at the pump. That'd be 5 cents a gallon for some needed road projects. Where do you fall in on this?
Well, I would suggest that in addition, first of all, this was actually something that was instituted.
This was one of the policy positions of the PAG Regional Council.
Right.
You represent Pima County on the PAG Council.
Right. The truth of the matter is a couple of different things have occurred. The amount that we pay in the HERF revenues is – or the money that we pay into HERF revenues, which is the gas tax, is the monies that the cities, the counties all use to repair our roads. We don't use general fund monies to repair roads. No one does. No one in Arizona. Over the last 3 years, we've seen the state legislature sweep monies from that pot and not restore them of a substantial amounts to fund the Department of Public Safety, which most of us can agree with. But last year, they took a substantial chunk to fund Motor Vehicle Division, which in theory should be a self-sufficient division. So we're seeing not only did we not have enough to really address the real needs, which we saw during the RTA discussion, but monies are being taken out of that pot that affects everybody in Arizona. In addition to that, though, that amount hasn't been increased in well over 20 years. So the truth of the matter is that we are seeing roads, freeways just degradate.
Yeah, in fact, Arizona's gas tax is among the lowest in the nation, and the last increase was 1 cent back in 1990. Right. And the roads, it doesn't take a – you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You drive the roads in the state. There are big problems. The infrastructure really needs repair.
So would I rather not increase it? Absolutely. I would. No elected official wants to vote for an increase in taxes, but the truth of the matter is we have a very real need. If we don't address it now, the cost of doing that will only increase.
Is that going to be addressed in 2012?
I hope so. That's not up to me. That's up to the legislature and the governor.
And every lawmaker I talk to, you know, getting back to jobs and the economy, they put that now as the number one issue. And I say to lawmakers, well, so what's the plan? So what is the job creation plan? And I think that is still to be determined with this legislative session. Do you foresee a session that perhaps they won't be coming after the counties as much as they did in 2011?
Yes, and then I wake up, Bill.
But they won't be taking as much from Pima County and
you know, Bill, I've got to tell you that I wish that was the case. I've got to tell you that I'm a veteran of both the House and the State House and the State Senate.
Yeah. What was your service up there? How you were up in the legislature?
For 7 years.
7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I served in the House from 1997 to 2000 and the Senate from 2001 to 2003, which is when we had an even 15-15 Senate. Mm-hmm. And I've got to tell you that things have changed drastically, unfortunately. One of the great benefits of having a 15-15 Senate is, regardless of party, you had to talk to each other. And today, we don't see that up in Phoenix. And the end losers are all of us in the state of Arizona.
Yeah, because Democrats continue to say, and the Republicans disagree with this, that the Democrats say they do not have a seat at the table when it comes to the budget.
And again, going back to the 15-15 Senate in which I served, everybody talked to everybody else. And that was good for Arizona.
All right, Ramon Valadez, we're going to be wrapping it up with him very shortly, but we've talked about the state courts, we talked about Rosemont, we talked about PAG wanting perhaps a 28% increase in gas tax, we've talked about the Raytheon, perhaps the bond issue, that all issues that are going to be coming up in 2012. But as far as the Pima County budget, looking pretty good money-wise for 2012?
Well, I'll tell you what, we have managed to last year cut the budget. We obviously had to increase the rate because of what the cost shifts of the legislature. We've cut well over 1,200 employees from our payroll. We will continue to take actions that we can to make sure and plan our way out of any economic difficulties that we have.
Ramon Valadez, thank you very much. The chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, we wish you and your family a wonderful holiday season, and we'll look forward to speaking with you in 2012.
Thank you. You and your listeners as well.
Thanks a lot. Three local businesses challenging each other to collect 20,000 turkeys for Tucson today. It's all for the Community Food Bank, Casino del Sol Resort, Mr. An's, Teppan Steak and Sushi out on North Oracle Road, and Tucson Appliance Company. That's at Speedway near Columbus, and KVOI will be doing some live remotes out there this afternoon from 3 to 5 this afternoon, and you can drop off your turkeys. But the important thing is drop them off, because the Community Food Bank really in short supply of food and cash this holiday season. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by our friends at Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants. They're at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. If you're looking for any CPA needs, and as we approach tax season, please give Mike Flowers a call. He's the man when it comes to the taxes. Tomorrow, the Friday Focus interview here on the Buckmaster Show will be with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. Joining me in the questioning will be Jimmy Bogle of The Weekly and Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. Of course, we'll have our Reporters Roundtable and Matt Russell with Weekend Watch. Have a great afternoon. We will be here for you noon tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.